Hi, this is Jen from How We End, and you are watching CMS TV.
Carl, man, how's it going? Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, things are going great. You know, tonight I'm not going to music. As I tell people, when they say, you know, I'm at an event, they say, how are you feeling? And I say, music's going on. I am feeling fine.
Thank you for being here and let me ask you questions on my podcast. That means a lot to me. And so how do you pronounce your last name so I don't butcher it?
It is Oligny.
Oligny. Nice.
Okay. It's French-Canadian. My father was born in Montreal and emigrated to the United States in the 1940s.
And you were born in 45, right?
45, yeah, in Cleveland.
Cleveland, Ohio. Was your dad or was your mom and dad into music growing up?
Not really. You know, I can remember one time, though, and this was back in the payola days, that my mom would dance in the living room with her scarf. And I remember one time when they played Pat Boone's Ain't That a Shame 20 times in a row.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame?
20 times in a row?
After that, you know, a couple of years after that, that's when Alan Freed got nailed for payola.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they were not, my brother was, but he was more in the early going. He was a classical music guy. Bach, Beethoven, you know, Brahms. And he was the one who bought me my first single. It was Frankie Avalon, Dee Dee Dinah. And when people say that, you know, music back in the day was so much better, I laugh at those lyrics. It's Dee Dee Dinah, Dee Dee Dinah, you so fine. <You know? laughs> Just cornball stuff. But,
I'll keep going. Go ahead. No, I was going to ask you, you know, was your brother into music as much as you are? I mean, it was because music's your passion. I mean, was your brother passionate just as much as you are?
No, he was not. But my passion has grown over the years, and it's been really in the past 5 or 6 years since I went to the first Imagine Fest that I've almost become totally invested in the local music scene. And prior to that, I would go to a lot of shows and really a lot of blues shows, because that was my passion for the longest time, you know, especially after the British blues invasion of the, whenever that was, 60s and 70s. Went to a blues festival out in Winder, Georgia, several years ago. Blues festivals a bit in Boston. But when I went to my first Imagine Fest, I really connected with the people there. Because prior to that, I would go to shows, I would observe, I would enjoy myself, I would love the music. I would go home, I would meet the first person, and I definitely wouldn't meet anybody in a band. You know, because I was more of an introvert then. And with the introduction of the EDM scene, and then later metal and punk, I've just become totally immersed in the music scene here and just have such a great time.
You're well, you are well loved in the music scene here. When I was telling a couple of friends that, that you're going to be on Good Company, they're like, what? No way. You know? So, and then also I always think like when I get, you know, I want to be like you when I get older, you know, like, I just love the passion. And anyway, when you were sending me, you sent me some notes of all the shows mm-hmm. you've been to, and I definitely want to talk about, you saw the Beatles, you saw them on Ed Sullivan on TV. Can you talk about that?
That was interesting. I was going to Western Reserve University at the time in Cleveland, and I was staying at the dorms. It was a men's dorm, and we had no curfew. So a bunch of us were out at one of the local bars, because you drink at age 18 in Cleveland, 3-2 beer. And we all left and went into the day room where people were all gathered around the television. I didn't even know what's going on. You know, and it's like, what's going on? The Beatles are coming on, and Ed Sullivan. And interesting enough, I was never a big Beatles fan until later on. I thought the name was stupid. I was a big Animals fan. I love the Animals.
Oh, the Animals, yeah.
Yeah, so when anytime somebody says the Beatles or the Rolling Stones, I will say the Animals.
I want to go back and check the Animals out. I remember listening to them too. My parents were big into them as well.
Yeah. And I think Eric Burdon was on one of the shows, and they asked him to growl like an animal. And he just, you know, it's like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
They were treating him like a child.
Also, you had that you saw Bob Dylan live. Did you see Bob Dylan live in concert, or was this on TV?
No, I actually saw him live at, I believe it was at Chastain. I can't remember what festival it was, but yeah, I saw him live.
Chastain, that's amazing.
You know, I mentioned that hearing him was a big game changer for me. It was when I was in college. And there was a fellow from Miami in the dorm room next to mine who left school for some reason, but he left behind a bunch of records in his dorm room. So a few of us went in and we split them up, and one of the records I got was Bob Dylan's first album. It had been released like the year before. Bob Dylan, and I'm listening to this poet. And it was just like, wow, I've never heard anything like this before.
Do you still listen to it? Do you go back to it? Do you still listen to Dylan?
Yes, I listen at times. But today I listen to people like Abe Partridge from Alabama, who to me is kind of Dylan-esque because he tells stories in his music. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I'll check him out.
Yeah, he and Scott Byram are coming to Eddie's Attic, I think it is. I already bought tickets next month.
Yeah.
And two people that I listen to a lot. Abe has one song called Alabama Astronauts. It's just crazy as all get out, but I love it.
Oh, I'll definitely check that out. So you go to all these shows. How do you connect with all these fans? Because I see you having like pictures with fans. I see you on social media. I see you introducing bands on stage. I think I saw a video of that. How did that all start? I mean, did that start, you said, what, 5 years ago?
5 years ago. And, there was a stretch when I would just go to festivals and I gradually met people. And then when I started, I think one of the another game changers was when I went to a place called the Catacombs. It was a house show in East Atlanta. And I saw that my friends from Dayglow Morning were playing there. They were a doom metal band. And so I went looking for this thing. I put the GPS on and I get in this residential neighborhood and I'm going, where is this place? Where's this building? Find out it's a house. Well, I saw some guys standing under a tree. I parked. I went over, and it was the guys from Dayglow Morning. And so went and talked with them. And that night, there were two bands there from Ohio. One was Weed Demon, and the other was Maharaja. They're both traveling, and they're from Ohio. I met all them. I talked with them, got pictures with them. I met Jake from Rotten Stitches for the first time. And that was another one of those things that just kind of opened up my communications with these people. Because before, I would just kind of stand back and observe.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that in both the punk and the metal scene, that these people are very open. They're very, especially the punk scene, because the people in that scene, they're family. And I've become part of that family. and I'm happy to be part of that family.
Yeah, 100%. I'm friends with I'm wearing the shirt Neon Warlords, Ryan Cardava, and I've had him on the show, and they think so highly of you. And I was just talking to Ronnie, and from Ronnie from Blackstrap, yeah. And so they all think so highly of you. And you're right, though, the punk and metal scene, they are very open, and that's just a great. I love it. I love Blackstrap, so I was kind of jealous that you went there, and I didn't see you.
I'd like to get there more often, but it's like 45 miles away from home. It's a certain number of back roads, but I try to get there when I can. I was recently there for the filming of a video with Casket Creatures.
Oh, and, cool. Yes.
Yeah. The video is Murder Birthday, and I wore a full skull mask for this. Ryan Cadaver showed me some of the footage they have so far. And I think for a change, I will actually, even though you can't tell it's me, that I will be in the video, because I was in a Waymore's video. All you can see is the back of my head for 2 seconds. I was in a video with Yosemite in Black. I don't think it ever got released.
Oh, really? It didn't get released?
Well, I've never seen it. And but this one, because I was up close to the young girl that they that the clown was stalking, you know, the subject of the movie. the video, I'll be in this one. And plus, I love the guys from the Casket Creatures. They're all just terrific.
Oh, I love them. I've had them on the show. Great people. And, you know, Kurt Thomas told me to tell you hello. Yeah. So you see him at Dixie Tavern. He's one of my best friends.
Oh, and I love him. And I love his music. And I've got a couple of his CDs. Try to see him whenever I can. And one night, this was after I was at Catacombs, and my friend Zanny made me up in makeup with, you know, all black and white face. And when I went home, my wife says, "You're going to take that off, aren't you?" And I said, "No, I got to go out today and, you know, show it up." But on my way home, I stopped at Dixie Tavern, and I was wearing this makeup, and I went up to the stage and I said hi to Kurt, and he just looked at me like, "Who in the heck are you?" And then when I laughed, he realized it was me. But he's such a sweetheart, and I love his songs. I love his lyrics, and just a wonderful person.
Oh man, that's so nice. That's funny. You didn't wash the makeup off, though. You know, I would probably have been the same way. It's just too much work. You know, like you're committed.
I took it off that night, but my wife was going out of town. I had to take her to the airport that next morning, and I'm driving to the airport, and I forgot I even had it on.
You wore it the next day at the airport.
The airport, parked, you know, pulled over so I could help her with her suitcase, and started pulling the suitcase into the terminal with this makeup on, and people are looking at me like, "What the hell is this?"
That's so funny. Yeah. Oh, how did you meet your wife? I mean, you guys have been married for what, a few years now, right?
Oh yeah. We met in, I got to get the year right, or she's going to beat me up. we met on eHarmony many years ago. And so I will say, thank you, eHarmony. At the time, I had been single for 18 years and was just about ready to give it up. I tried different dating services, met a number of nice people, but nothing ever clicked. And we met one Saturday afternoon. Well, actually, we met online first. We talked a lot. And we expressed a great love of both music and travel. So that's the thing that brought us together. We met at Cafe Intermezzo on a Saturday in Perimeter. Had a 3-hour lunch that day. I had a flight to Chicago for business. And we stopped at Home Depot Expo, where I danced with her in the entryway there.
Well, you danced with her the day you met her? You danced with her?
Yeah.
Wow. You know it's working then.
And yeah. And I am not a good dancer, but, you know, I give it my best. And, you know, it just went from there. It's been magical. It's been wonderful. We celebrate the day we met as our anniversary every single month. More so
every
than
month?
The year.
Yeah. Wow.
So every month on now I've got to get that date right. But I stick my head in. We try to zap each other first, you know, happy anniversary to you.
Oh, man, that is so sweet. That's a great story.
Yeah, but we've just had a great life together, lots of travel, lots of music. She stopped going to festivals, though, simply because the lines for the drinks, the lines for the restrooms, she stopped enjoying them. But she goes out every now and then to shows with me. And as far as the metal and punk, I would not expect her to like it or go with me. But the beautiful thing is she doesn't mind in the least that I go.
She doesn't judge you. She's like, this is your, you know, if you want to paint your face and take me to the airport the next day. You should paint up right before your anniversary, you know, or once a month, you know. I was going to ask you, when you said you did paint up your face, you were getting an award that night, right? That was a ceremony you're at. Am I right on that?
No, that night I saw the Zanny and Sheldon from Evil Intent at Catacombs. And Zanny was a makeup artist for the band, and I'd seen them at Sweetwater a few months before. And I said, hey, next time I see you guys, would you make me up? And so Zanny did that. And Zanny was at that time the bass player, sometimes bass player for the band, singer for the band, the makeup artist, and also drag queen. And I saw, and I always refer to Zanny as her because that's the way I think of her. I saw her at Star Bar not too long ago on drag night, and she was wonderful.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I'll definitely have to check them out for sure. And so what you have in common with my father was in Vietnam. And so you were in there, from 1966?
Yeah, I was there middle of 66 through the middle of 67. And that was the early part of LBJ's big buildup. So in a certain way, I was fortunate in that things were relatively quiet then. It really heated up like in 1969 and 70 when I was gone. So it was a different experience for me than the guys who went later.
Yeah, but it's still an experience, you know. I mean, it's
definitely.
We talk about like when you first got there. I mean, that must just have been a shock, right? I mean, you know, I'm sure you got plenty of. My father went in later on. I think my father was in there maybe 68. Mm-hmm. But his stories are so crazy, and he didn't tell me them all at once because I was, you know, a kid when he would kind of slow feed me what happened. But
yeah, well, ironically, the day I got in country was my 21st birthday, and we landed in Da Nang at the airbase there, and then I had to catch a late night flight in a C-130 to Chu Lai base. And as we were landing, and we were fed a lot of propaganda before we went, you know, kill them before they kill you. Once you get there, you got 30 days to live if you're lucky, blah, blah, blah.
They would tell you that? You got 30 days to live if you're lucky?
Yeah, most of it was bull. It was just indoctrination. But as we were landing, the airbase came under fire. There were flares going off all over the place. As the C-130 was landing on the airstrip, we had to jump out and run for cover. And I thought, wow, what they said was true. But it wasn't. It was guerrilla tactics where the Viet Cong would, you know, take a couple pot shots, they'd do a couple things, and then we would respond 10 times or 100 times over.
Oh, you would, yeah.
So the appearance was apocalypse now, you know. But that was not the case.
Did you, did you have friends that you lost while you were there? I mean, I'm sure you did, but, you know, I mean, that must have just been hard being that young.
Yeah, and see, I was in the company outfit, and I was a supply guy. But even when you're in the Marines and you're in that situation, we always had to go out on what they called search and destroy missions and, you know, night patrol and things like that. But I was not a line troop. And the guys who lost their lives were largely in line troops. They were the guys on the front line doing the actual fighting. We were behind the lines.
Wow. Maybe, yeah, that's, well, I'm glad you're still here. You know, yeah. That's, it sounds like you kind of got lucky on that.
Yeah. And I mentioned this one thing that, you know, I could have been injured at this one time when someone sent me the record 96 Tears by Question Mark and Mysterians. And that was a popular hit back then. And I decided to play it 96 times on my suitcase record player. 30 times in, a guy who I didn't even know from the next tent came in with his 45 drawn and said, play that one more time. I'm going to put a bullet in your record player. No, I didn't.
But what's the name of that song? Because I want to like play it right now. That'll be the perfect.
Oh, yeah. It's 96 Tears.
96 Tears. 96 Tears. Okay, I got to remember
question
that.
Mark, and it's a question mark. And the Mysterians.
Oh, and cry. 96 Tears. I know that song. Yeah.
Cry. Yeah.
Cry. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah, man. I know that song. That's a great song. But yeah, 96 yeah. times would be pretty brutal. you know, it's crazy. Like, I always just think of how hot it was. I mean, how miserable it was in Vietnam, you know? I mean, did that drive you crazy? I guess you said you guys fought overnight, right? So, I mean, just the heat, I don't know, overnight during the day doesn't matter. It's all hot, you know?
The worst it got was temperatures in around 125, 130. But ironically, the worst part was during monsoon season when the temperatures would drop into the 50s. We froze our butts off. You know, could not get warm no matter what. When it's hot, you throw clothes off.
Right. You know? Well, which one do you prefer back then? I mean, if looking back, do you want it just hot as balls or just cold? And, you know, I mean, each one stinks, you know, the streams.
They were both, you know, not good, but I'd take the hot over the cold.
Right. Hot over the cold.
Yeah.
So you have a couple of kids, right? Are they into music as much as you are?
Well, interesting enough, you know, I have three sons, Eric, who's 44, Jason, 46, and Joe, who's 54. At different times, I've taken them to a number of shows, but the only one who's still active with me is my son, Jason, and he's the one who got me into metal with Metallica and Stuck Mojo. And,
yes, I love Stuck Mojo.
Yeah, yes. And recently, you know, I was talking to Andrew Black and found out he was one of the founding members of Stuck Mojo. I didn't know that.
What's his name? Did he play drums? Black.
Andrew Black. Yeah, I saw him at Dixie just recently. But Rich Ward is a friend. But it was Jason who got me interested in them. And but I you know, some of the memorable times I took my son Joe, who's 54, I took him to see The Fix and Flock of Seagulls. You know, and he was begging to go to a show, and I said, you're not going to like it. It's going to be real loud. You know, it's going to be loud. You're not going to like it. Oh, no, I'll like it. So we went, and probably a half hour in, he goes, can we leave? It's too loud. But the wildest show I ever took him to was, I got to think of it. It was at USF Sundome, and it was some band kind of like GWAR. You know, it wasn't GWAR, but they were really bizarre. And at that time, Joe was in his Garth Brooks stage. He wore a slicker, you know.
It's a good game, more opposite.
Yeah, he brought his friend, and about a half hour into that show, he said, the band was Impotent Sea Snakes.
Okay, I'll check that out.
Yeah, a great name.
It is.
And he said, I'm not comfortable. Can we leave? So we did.
You're such a cool dad, you know. Yeah. Like, you could be the cool. You should get an award for that. We're taking.
But one of my best memories is Lollapalooza Orlando, 1992.
I have that in my notes. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I took my two sons, Jason and Eric, to that, along with one of their school buddies, and they just, you know, went all around the festival grounds. That's when things were really safe. You didn't have to worry, you know, about the kids wandering. I think they were 11 and 13 at the time. But the thing that I remember most about that show is that Tool was relatively unknown, played the side stage, and they just blew me away. And then Rage Against the Machine played the side stage, and I was watching Zach just take command of that stage all over the place. And I'm going, wow, you know, I gotta listen to these guys. And Ministry was on the main stage, and I remember watching Ministry. Huge bank of speakers, and I watched the hair on my arms vibrate with the sound waves of the speakers. You know, but that was
I love Ministry. Know, yeah, what amazing, you know, time in history and that you were a part of. Just seeing that's incredible. Rage Against the Machine, Alice in Chains, Tool, Ministry. I mean, you were right there. Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah,
and I think Body Count was there in 93. I'm a huge fan of Ice-T. I love his voice.
Yeah, Body Count, Ice-T. Yeah, and that's back then. Did you get to meet these guys? I mean, did they have meet and greets back then? Like, I was only 13 when Lollapalooza 93 came around.
Yeah, no, I never did. And at that time, my personality would not have even allowed me to do that. You know, it's like, why would they be interested in even talking to me? And what would I say to them? So that was my thought process then.
Yeah, I'm just so that's just amazing that you were there and got to witness all that.
Yeah.
And that it just phenomenal. Okay, let me ask you, you saw Fozzy got to open for Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
And you got to be a part of that. That's amazing that you were there.
Yeah. At the time, my wife and I were down in San Miguel, Mexico. And my nephew, who lived in Southern California, in Glendale, was getting married. He was getting married on a Friday. So we flew up for the wedding. And on Saturday, Fozzy and Iron Maiden played at Bank America Stadium. And so I bought tickets for that, just myself, and I went. And, you know, it was one where I was halfway back, had to watch them largely on a big screen, but it was just fun watching people that I knew, you know, play on the stage. And later, Sam Abernathy told me, he says, man, he says, if I'd have known you were here, he says, I would have got you backstage. And I said, but even then, I said, thanks, but I wouldn't have known what to have said. To have said to any of the guys in Iron Maiden, you know,
I mean,
they're such legends.
Oh, yeah. I love Sam Abernathy. He's amazing. He's been on the show as well. He's such a good guy. And, I wish I was there. So I'm just kind of just telling my jealousy list is growing. okay, so here we go. I was thinking, how cool would it be if you had your own podcast? I mean, you could just tell stories every week about like different shows and different experiences. Have you ever thought about sharing any of this? Maybe write a book, maybe, or something?
Well, you know, one of the things that I have kind of in the works, and my wife keeps saying, when are you going to do that? Is I've just been putting together, jotting down a lot of notes about things in my life. So I'm considering doing a book, and it's going to be kind of like Random Thoughts of an Old Man, you know? And it'll be things in random order, just short paragraphs. Here's something that happened to me at this time. Because up until recently, and this is when my wife and I, this is maybe 6 years ago when we first started spending time in San Miguel, Mexico, there's a huge expat community there. And there are writers, artists, sculptors, musicians, political figures, et cetera, et cetera. And when I go down there, I think to myself, Carl, you are the least interesting guy here. Then I started examining my own life. And I thought, No, I'm not. You know, and when I put some of these things together, I go, wow, I have had an interesting life. And I owe a lot of that to my parents because they let both of my brother and I be who we wanted to be, as opposed to saying, you have to be this or you have to be that.
Wow. And especially they were that way back in that time, you know, when it seemed like parents were really strict back then, you know, and that's great. They gave you freedom.
Yeah.
And you give your kids freedom. I mean, you're taking them to amazing shows.
Oh yeah. And with them, you know, I listen to them. I never tell them what they have to do. If they ask for advice, I give it. If they don't, I don't.
And you saw Mike from Suicidal Tendencies too, right?
Yeah, I've seen him a few times. I saw him at Masquerade the first time, and I was filming. Well, when I first got there, I like to get up close, so I was right on the rail in the center.
Yeah.
And I think Madball was there.
I love that.
Also. But I got hit in the back so many times, I moved over to the left. So I was videoing Mike, and he was just firing up the crowd as he does, you know, just, yeah. Love his energy. And before I know it, my circle just widened and widened, and all of a sudden, bam, I'm knocked on my side, flat on my back. But as I'm going down, I'm still videoing. And so I have this video, and on the video, you can hear people going, oh, my God, are you okay? Let me help you up. And I go, no, I'm fine. Just let me lay here. And one of the security guards jumped over the rail to help me up. And I said, no, I'll get up when I'm ready. I'm okay. But it wasn't too long after that I had to go in for an MRI because I was having problems with my hip. And one of the things said, what brought you here? And I got knocked down by my circle. Suicidal Tendencies. And a couple of years ago, I had my hip replaced, so I can get around real good now.
Oh, you get okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, and my most recent knockdown was at Moonshadow Tavern by my friend Trinity, who goes by the name Doll from the band Neil Barras. And I just love her. She's a, you know, kind of. Mm-hmm. You know,
I'll definitely check that out. Yeah.
Yeah. And after they performed, she and her, I think it was her guitar player, started slamming. You know, once again, I was way off to the left and he threw her and she slammed right into me and I went down hard.
Ah.
But got up. I seemed to be fine, but I found out later I wasn't, but I didn't tell my wife for about a week because I didn't want her to say, you can't go to these shows anymore.
what makes you want to go to the front row like that every time after getting hurt? That's pretty cool that, you know, even if you get hurt or not get hurt, you're going to be in the front row and we're going to see.
Well, it's a couple of things. Number one, I just love the energy of a band and I can feel it so much more when I'm right up close in watching them and watching the guitar players with their hands just flying. And I'm going, wow, how do you do that? The other is I take a whole lot of pictures, and being up close really helps to get some great shots.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that you take photos and do all that. Even going back to the Suicidal Tendencies, you left the camera on too. Did you know you were doing that? Like, I'm falling, but I'm definitely keeping this footage
going.
Well,
no, at the time, it was just kind of a reaction. I wasn't even aware until afterwards. I went back and listen to the video.
Do you play any instruments?
I have three guitars. I have three guitars and I have a keyboard. Can play neither of them. And on my 75th birthday, my wife graciously bought me a resonator guitar. And I just love the sound of it. I just kind of strum on it, but really can't play. I just love the sound.
Oh, okay. Do you ever go on YouTube and like try to learn a song or two?
You know, I have, and I've had a number of musicians, you know, offer to teach me. And in time, I'll get to it. I hope. And it's interesting because I have a number of things on my bucket list that I want to do. One of them is learn the guitar. Another is learn Spanish. We go down to Mexico numerous times, and I speak a handful of words because they make it easy there. But I would like to be fluent. I want to do volunteer work in Cambodia. And I also want to go to Ozora Fest in Budapest, Hungary. It's outside of Budapest, Hungary. It's a week-long psytrance EDM festival.
Wow, that's amazing. What's your favorite place that you guys traveled together?
Well, you know, we've been down to San Miguel so many times. That's at the top of our list. But in terms of places that we have gone, we really loved Cambodia, Nepal, Costa Rica. And I think we've been to about 40-some countries in total.
Wow. You guys together have been to 40 countries together?
Yeah.
That was definitely on the eHarmony checklist, like loves to travel. Yes.
Yeah.
Did you see any shows like when you're traveling? That would be cool, seeing like a concert in another country.
When I was in Portugal, and we were there last year for 2 months, Slipknot was playing at a festival in Lisbon. And at the time, we were in Porto, which was a three-hour train ride away. And I put together something to try and go to that show. And I can't remember, there was another, maybe it was Pantera also. Well, Pantera was there one day, Slipknot was there another. I wanted to see Slipknot.
Jeez.
And didn't see him, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to see him at Welcome to Rockville in Florida, in Daytona later. So it's okay, I don't see him right now. So I didn't make it there. But I've met many band members there, just chatting with people on trains. You know, when I see a guy all tatted up, start talking to him, you know, what is it you do? I'm a drummer for this band. Or, you know, I met a drummer from a metal band out of Portland, Oregon on the train ride from Porto, Portugal to Lisbon. While we were sitting at an outdoor cafe, I met a metal guy who was in a band in the UK. And, you know, talking to them, I find out I listen to their music on Spotify. And so, you know, I just chat up. And one of the things that helps this is I always wear rock shirts, and people will come up to me, you know, like a waiter, and say, oh, you know, really, I've seen these guys, I like these guys, who, you know, or who are these guys? And it starts a conversation.
I love it.
One of my first questions always, are you a musician? You know, and that gets the ball rolling.
I'm telling you, Carl, I want to be you, man. Like, this is right my alley. How many concert shirts do you own? Do you just have a closet full of black metal shirts?
You know, I just did a count in my main closet the other day because somebody asked me that question. I thought, well, I got to see how many I got. And the count was 273. And I recently, because when I'd go out to a show, I'd want to wear the shirt of whoever I was going to see. And they were just kind of thrown in there in whatever order, and I would thumb through maybe 50 shirts to finally find the one I wanted. And I recently alphabetized everything. I got rings that put on the rod with A, B, C, D.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I was only missing two letters, Q and Z. And recently at Star Bar, the guys from the band Zix gave me their shirt, so I filled out the Z.
Yeah, you can complete it.
And the only reason I don't have a Q is when I saw Joe Queer at Star Bar not too long ago, they didn't have a shirt in my size.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'd have that filled in too.
Oh, God, I love it. You know, when the first time I met you was at Actus Reus, I don't know if you remember those guys, but you know, I'm friends with those guys, and I saw you at the Masquerade in the front row, and I was like, wow, this is Carl. This is what I hear about. And you're at this random show, and, you know, it's just so cool. How do you keep up with all the local shows? Do you just do it on social media, or do you have
Well, I keep it on a calendar, but I get a lot of invites from people. I don't know if you can see this. Well, you probably can't, and my hand is not at all steady.
No, that's fine.
That's my calendar of just this month's shows. And like, let's see, on the 30th, I have my friend Mark Grunhofer is playing at Mad Life at Star Bar. There's the Tom Cheshire, Eric Lee birthday. There's an 80s rock metal tribute to Dixie and Sweetwater. There's an event going on at Rootstock. There's an event going on. But I'm definitely going to see Tom Cheshire and Eric Lee and all of that.
Okay. Are you? Yeah.
On Saturday night. And one of the things that's always difficult for me is saying, okay, who am I not going to see as opposed to who am I going to see? And what I try to do is if it's somebody I like and haven't seen in quite some time, I'll go to their show.
That means the world to them, I bet. And so is there any like big bands that you want to go see, like Arena X, that are on your bucket list?
You know, not really, because the last two arena shows I went were Iron Maiden, and then a few days later in here in Atlanta was AC/DC, or was it? No, it was The Who. It was The Who. And I said at that time, I am tired of paying $250 for a ticket, watching bands on a big screen, and having somebody standing up in front of my face, waving their phone, you know, where I'm really not enjoying it. I want to be up close.
You know, up close and feel the energy. Yeah. I get that.
So, I really enjoy it now. I just did buy tickets. I said I wasn't going to do that one anymore either, but I just bought tickets to Welcome to Rockville in Louisville, 4 days of rock and metal, because I looked at that lineup and I said, wow, that's an amazing lineup.
I saw that too. Yeah, incredible. You're going all 4 days though?
Yep.
Yeah. Is your wife going to any of them?
Yeah. But I'll find an Airbnb up there. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also going to Muddy Roots in Cookeville, Tennessee, which has become my favorite festival. It's punk metal and some bluegrass. It's in early September. And they just announced yesterday that Imagine Fest was not going to be held this year. So I already had a backup plan for that, and that's the Yonder Ways Festival down near Warner Robins, 2 days of metal. Yeah. So my September is packed, and that's my month of festivals.
God, man, that's inspiring me. You make me feel, I'm just inspired by all that. Yeah. Do you ever, like, you know, my brother wears, he got these plugs for his ears when he goes to shows. Do you ever worry about that, like, you know, being so close to the stage?
Yeah, and you know, I have Eargasm earplugs that are, you know, they're expensive ones.
That's good.
And so I wear those often. Sometimes I forget to. But I also pull out my decibel meter to look at the decibel range on the, you know, coming out of the speakers. My wife will tell you that I have hearing loss. I don't agree with her.
Selective hearing. Yeah. Right? It's selective, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Last thing, man, I want to ask is if I send you a Good Company shirt, will you wear it? You know, like I'll give you some Good Company merch, you know, for my podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. I want to add, I want to, you know, put the G, the good, you know, Good Company, put it in your organized closet, you know. I need to do that. You should take a picture of your closet. I mean, it sounds phenomenal.
Well, if it went so far away, I'd drag my webcam over there. But yeah, it's a long closet. It's probably 8 feet wide. It's
packed.
And then this closet right here, it's got the generic band shirts in it, like DRI and some of these other bands that are, you know, more of a national act. And then it's got my shirts like this, and also some, just kind of a wide variety. I've also got 4 shirts in there that I can't decipher the name of the bands. I got to put pictures up of those shirts and say, okay, who is this? Because, you know, so many of the punk and metal bands use typeface now that is almost totally illegible.
So when
I don't know who the band is.
They need to make some kind of app where you can just take a picture of the shirt and then it'll hey, this is mortification. So you know. Well, hopefully I'll get to see you soon, maybe at the Blackstrap or Masquerade or anything like that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else going on that you want to talk about? Is there what's the next show you going to? Oh, you told me you got a list of these shows.
Yeah, well, tomorrow night is Last Chance Riders at Red Clay Factory. And they're all friends of mine. And met them all a few years ago. I actually met them at a Battle of the Bands show at MadLife a few years ago.
Oh, cool.
And then, like I say, Saturday is the Tom Cheshire, Eric Lee birthday party with Saddam Death Cave, and I can't remember all the other bands that are playing. So that's going to be a good one.
Yeah, after this interview, you guys send me a link to that because I definitely want to post about that. That's cool. I want to check that out, maybe add it to the interview.
Yeah. And, you know, and probably the only other thing I'd like to say is that I feel so fortunate, so blessed to be able to do what I do. And I tell people, I'm doing what I love. And how does it get any better than that? You know, when you can do what you love. And the other is when people say, I want to be you or whatever. It's, I have right now two responsibilities. Make sure my wife is happy, make sure the bills are paid, and then I can do whatever it is I want. You know, so.
Yeah.
And back when I was raising children and everything, I couldn't do what I do today. So that's a big part of it.
Right. I love it. And I'm part of one of those people that says, I want to be you. I think like you're such a good person and got such a good human. You know, you make sure your wife's okay. And then you can have your fun. You raised a great family and kids, everybody's healthy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's very inspiring. I'm telling you, if you were to write a book, I would buy it. And you could do Audible book, you know, you could just read it, you know, and get paid. And we would, we would listen.
Yeah.
But thank you, Carl, for being on the show, man. This means the world.
And, thank you for thinking of me.
It's funny. I had a handful of people I told, like I was telling you earlier, and everybody's response through text message was like, what? Really? Wow. Like, let me know when it comes out, you know? So you're well loved and respected.
Yeah. And that means a lot to me.
Yeah, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and tell me these stories. We got to have a part two, you know.
All right.
Maybe get you to co-host with me sometime. We'll interview a band together. That'll be right. Cool.
And as I'm watching myself on this camera here, I hope I wasn't looking. I think I was looking down too much, but, you know.
That's all good, man.
Do you have the idea for a great podcast, but don't have the space or equipment to produce one? Don't wait another minute. Audio Bay Studios is the best place to produce and stream your podcast live. With 4K cameras, professional equipment and more, Audio Bay Podcasting Studio is the best place to showcase your great ideas. Call us today at 440-539-1150 for more information and to book your podcasting session with Audio Bay Podcasting Studio. Call today.